0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on another big weekend across Scottish football. Derek McInnes gets his first league win of the season in an incident-packed afternoon at Pittodrie. Celtic keep up their winning start as they close in on midfield reinforcements. We've got an early game of the season contender in Paisley and big wins for the likes of Dundee United, Hibs and Hearts. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me tonight you've got Andy Halliday and David Friel of the Scottish Sun. You two were spoiled. That was a good weekend, wasn't it?
It was a good weekend, and I was just actually thinking back to last season when it was very rare for Celtic to win, Rangers to win and Hearts to win in the same weekend. That happened. Special mention to Hibs and Dundee United, brilliant wins for them. And Gordon, what a game between Motherwell and St Mirren. A last minute equaliser. Did you enjoy that?
There are vicious rumours circulating that I have been caught. Exuberance, is that not what they call it? Behind the goal. That is a man not allowed to enjoy his Sunday afternoon off, go and support his team. I think it was, get a bit carried away.
It was also a goal to enjoy.
I would do anything for footage of that. If anybody's got any footage out there, send it in to please.
I'm a bit worried that that man next to you's got some.
Really?
I think that's why he brought it up. But anyway,
Mr. Fabrizio Friel. I'm looking forward to his
transfer update.
Going on today.
I've had a hard day.
Good weekend though.
It was a good weekend. It was a strange weekend, as David said. I think it was only two or three occasions last season where Celtic and Rangers both won the same weekend in Hearts. So no jeopardy in Glasgow on a Monday feels a bit strange. But still plenty to talk about. Still going to be a busy 3 days remaining of the transfer window as well to talk about. But yeah, strange one.
You actually really are spoiled because you've got that weekend that you mentioned. Possibly, by the end of the show, we'll have the outcome of Derek McInnes's appeal. Andy's alluded to the transfer window. By the end of this week, we've got an emergency summit to try and get more young players.
Full card on Wednesday and Thursday.
Into the games as well. Celtic's European deadline actually comes before transfer deadline. Are you going to be okay?
I don't know. I'll see how I feel. Roger Hannes picked a good time to go on holiday, let's just say that.
Again. Summit holidays last year as well.
Never here.
Unbelievable,
aye. Anyway, 0141 951 1025. Give us a call. Let us know what is on your mind. I think we all know generally the way it works. On a Monday, we look back on all the big talking points from the weekend. The good stuff, bad stuff, funny stuff, controversial stuff, whatever it is. Do give us a call right now, please, and let us know. Rangers fans, it was clearly better because it was a win. It was a winning performance. So how much better? What pleased you? What still needs to be worked on? All the rest of it, give us your thoughts there. There was loads of incidents within that game as well that you might want to debate one way or the other. I'm looking at you, Aberdeen fans, for that as well. Celtic fans, that's always one of those routine Saturday 3 o'clock wins that you just try and get done and dusted after European disappointment. So what did you take away from that? I think attention might turn to the transfer market and what midfielders, left backs, goalkeepers you might be signing. And I can honestly tell you, David Friel knows everything about every transfer that might happen over the next few days. So just phone him up, just put him straight on the spot and he'll tell you what's happening and what is not happening. Game of the day, game of the week, game of the season so far in Paisley yesterday. Get in touch if you were there. That was wonderful. Again, one or two incidents. Don't make me bring them up. So if one of you wants to come and get them off your chest, I'd like to hear from you as well. And anything else, let's do it on 0141 951 1025. You two can whet the appetite. Result of the weekend goes to...
Result of the weekend, I'm going to go for Hibernian after their exploits on Thursday, where I thought they put so much into the game. There was of a huge disappointment, big output in terms of physically and mentally, and I thought they bounced back with arguably their best domestic performance in over a year. I thought they were that good at the weekend against a well-coached, good Dundee side at that, and I thought it was a really, really convincing performance and result.
To me, a special mention to Dundee United. I thought they were outstanding at Killy. We wish Jim Goodwin all the best. Gordon obviously missed the game, but I'm just going to give it to Rangers. I just think with the context, everything that was going on, going out of Europe, the pressure that was on Derek McInnes and his players, Look, it wasn't a vintage performance by any stretch of the imagination, but Rangers got the job done. They come down the road to a 1-0 win, so that's my result of the weekend.
Goal of the weekend, you had some good choices.
Had some very good choices, and usually I narrow it down to the best team goal. I actually had some good choices in terms of team goals as well, but my favourite, and for me the best, was unfortunately Declan Johns, the second goal for St Mirren.
Brilliant.
Very, very good one-touch football, great rotations within it. And showed all the composure of a striker when he goes to a one-on-one with a goal. Strikers quite often tell you they're the hardest ones and you've got so much time to think about, but picked his spot right into the near post. It was a fantastic goal.
That is a really good choice, as long as you're about to make the right choice, David Friel. Now, I know I sit on this side of the table, I'm not supposed to influence things. Don't mess up your big moment here.
Will Ferry? No, I'm joking.
Oh, that was
no,
good though.
Will Ferry was a great goal. I felt Regan Charles Cook was a great goal, but I will give it to Jardel Kanga. Last minute of the game, I would maybe question the goalkeeper, but only for the initial cross, but just the stance, his technique to get that ball in the top corner. I wouldn't say it's goal of the season already. I know that's been doing the rounds, but what a goal it was.
Yeah, don't mind that one at all. What about your howler of the weekend then, Andy Halliday?
Well, I usually quite often like to go towards a goalkeeper, don't I?
Or a ref.
Nah, I'm definitely preferred going for a goalkeeper. And Scott Bain's mistake at Celtic Park was an absolute howler. I think he has two bites at the cherry to try and grasp it into his midriff, but doesn't do a particularly great job of both of them and allows arguably Celtic's best player at the minute, Camilo Durán, to roll it into an empty net.
Do you know what, came so early and he actually went on to make some good saves after that, didn't he? But oh yeah.
Ah, it's too late.
Hates goalkeepers, this guy. Your howler.
I'm going to go back to St Mirren for this, and I'm going to give you two for the price of one.
Oh,
here, Gordon. Now, Alec Gogic with the handball. It was Harlem Globetrotter stuff, let's be honest.
He's howling.
He, that's a really bad mistake. But how Kevin Clancy, as a referee, hasn't seen it, he actually then looks over his assistant, who's even further away, to see if he'd seen it. Has to go to VAR to get the penalty. The correct decision was given, but then encroachment. Massonisi misses the penalty. Alec Gogic runs up to kick the ball. Then it's almost as if he takes a moment. VAR check it again. No retake. It should have been a retake, 100%.
You going along with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely, am. I do think all three are really, really poor decisions, but I found it crazy that he doesn't spot the initial handball for Gogic and it needs a VAR intervention to be given.
I can almost get over those because at least you end up with the right.
I can't when his arm's up here.
No, you know what I mean? At least you end up with the right outcome. It's the ones that you come away.
Listen, we talk about still delaying football games. If there's something as clear cut as that, you want that punished straight away.
I think the penalty should have been retaken.
Absolutely, I think it impedes Tawanda Maswanisi. So there's no doubt for me whatsoever it should be retaken.
And let's finish on a high then. Who was your top man of the weekend?
Well, I never knew you could do two for ones, but since David just went for a two for one, I'm going for it as well. I was to and fro between Paul and CEO and Alec Lowry because I thought the two of them have had outstanding start to the seasons, and I thought the two of them were the best players on the pitch yesterday. So I'm going to go for a two for one. I'm going to go for the both of them. Quite often you hear there's not a lot of great young talent, and I know they're not extremely young now with their teenagers, but they're still really looking to make their mark in first team professional football. And I thought they've had great starts to the season, and I thought both of them were excellent yesterday.
They were both brilliant, I have to say.
I'll go for Will Ferry of Dundee United. He just missed out on goalie weekend, but outstanding performance down at Rugby Park. Beautiful goal with his weaker foot and an assist as well. I think United will do well to hold on to him over the next couple of days, Gordon.
What did you call him? Fabrizio Friel. It's not the transfer update that most of our listeners will be, well, unless he's going to another Scottish club maybe. Do you think he'll still be there, Will Ferry?
I'm not convinced. I think there might be a bit of interest from Belgium again in him. There's talk of Anderlecht potentially.
Potentially closer to home.
Yeah, well, that has been doing the rounds as well, but I think Celtic may be looking further afield for a left back. But I think he's a very good player, and you know, he's come on a ton at Dundee United.
I'm telling you, knows everything about every transfer going. Give him a shout at Pick His Brains. 01419511025 on the line. Let's dive straight in with Stephen, who's a Rangers fan. Hi, Stephen.
How you doing?
Not bad, Stephen. How much better was yesterday? Are you a happier man?
Yeah, very much so. It was definitely a step in the right direction. I think a lot of the fans have gone nuclear and understand, right, obviously European football, it's not going to be there this season, but I'm not really that fussed at the end of the day. I would rather be in Europe, but I think the fans have just got to take stock a wee bit. You know, we've got a new manager, we've got a full new team, pretty much a full new squad, and there are going to be bumps in the road. Now, the performance in Europe was pretty horrific, to be honest. But if we look back, St Mirren was 5-1 going on 8-1. We should have put 2 or 3 by that team at Ibrox. And I think if the team is what it's going to be at the end of the transfer window, because Kelsey's coming in, there's a lot of talk about Cherney now coming up. I think those results are maybe different. Yeah, you could do business earlier, but the transfer window doesn't always work that way. But, you know, we had fans last season writing off Chermiti, writing off Mikey Moore, saying send them back in January, right up to December time. Now, I know you don't get time with Old Firm. I get that. But with this circumstance of the complete new rebuild with the new manager, there's going to be bumps along the road. But I think we've got to look at that. It wasn't a spectacular performance, but it was a very competent and astute performance, and a tie that's always tough for us. And we went from a team that looked like they never knew each other the other week to a team that were very well organised and pretty much did everything right. So I just want the Rangers fans to give the manager time, because, you know, the tough games are coming upon us. We've got 4 particularly coming up, and again, you know, there's going to be bumps there. Potentially we might win every game, probably won't, but I think we've got to give we can't be so knee-jerk, and I'm saying that, and I know what you'll say back, but you know, it's Rangers and we are where we are. But I'm much more positive after that performance, and I think there's signs there to show that we're going to build on this.
Let's put some of that to the guys then. So Stephen's much more positive after yesterday's performance, Andy. Is that something you could get on board with?
I can slightly. You know, I'm big on performance, but there's certain occasions where you can accept that the result was most certainly the most important thing. And I think after 120 minutes, the disappointment of Thursday, coupled with Pittodrie, where I've seen some of the best Rangers sides over the last 20 years struggle in a venue like Pittodrie, absolutely, I think it was much improved. It wasn't a classic game, far from it, but I do think Rangers deserved the win. I thought they were the better side throughout the game. I think the dynamism for me at the 3 behind Lorne Shanklin, I thought, made a huge difference. I thought just enthusiasm to make movements for the ball, to run in behind, to cause a bit of chaos. And I thought the centre-half partnership of McCannion and Fernandez had really solid games as well. So I do think it's been an improvement on what's been not an ideal start.
Yeah, I just think it was a step forward for Rangers. Gordon, look, there wasn't pretty patterns of play a lot of the time, and it was very much, you know, as Andy says, you had the 3 in behind Lorne Shanklin looking to get on the ball and play with a bit more pace. And I felt that allowed Cammy Devlin, Dan Neil in behind them just to protect a little bit more. It wasn't vintage. Rangers will need to be much, much better. You also need to take into consideration Aberdeen were really poor and have been poor pretty much since the start of the season. But as I said earlier, the pressure Derek McInnes was under to go and deliver a performance. I mean, we spoke on Saturday on the show, and I think we all kind of felt he was kind of fighting to keep his job at that stage because of the feeling among the Rangers fans. So to come down with a 1-0 win and keep a clean sheet, I just think was a step forward for him.
Well, any players in particular, Stephen, impressed you or think that are heading in the right direction?
Yeah, well, I think Kim looked tidy. Again, Gassama had another good game, and I think that's what you get from Gassama when you play him in the right position. You know, last season, he had a great first half of the season when he was played in the left flank, and then Mikey Moore came on to a game, and then Danny Rule played him out in the right, and he's nowhere near as effective out in the right. So I think if we're not putting square pegs in round holes, I think we'll get the best from the squad. But I just want to pick up on another thing, by the way. I think fans are also being very critical of the recruitment team. Now, I think Kim looked good yesterday. It's just a snapshot at the end of the day. Penrice has looked good. McCanya's looked fantastic. Yokota's looked, you know, not spectacular. I think he's still got you up to full fitness, but he's looked decent as well. And obviously we've built the guys. Devlin, that was a perfect game for Devlin. Devlin's not a fantastic footballer, but he was breaking up play yesterday. He was doing what, you know, he's going to come into his element, I think. Seeing we're away to Aberdeen, Hibs, Motherwell, Celtic, these kind of games, I think that's where he's going to come into his element. And we've had to rebuild because loan players went back last year. We've lost a few players. So I think the recruitment team are actually getting more criticism than what they deserve.
Is that fair, Andy?
That's where I draw the line. I was quite happy with your first statement, Stephen, but to say that the recruitment team don't deserve the criticism they're getting, I find absolutely baffling. The amount of money they spent in 12 months, the amount of players they've signed, I take into account that there was a lot of loan signings are out of contracts in the summer, so there had to be a certain amount of players that came in. But no, they're not doing anywhere near the job that they should be doing. They've spent a huge outlay of money that previous Rangers managers can only dream of having at their disposal. And for me, they've got far too many big decisions wrong.
I think you can see that in terms of the numbers of signings over the last year, 30 signings, almost 29, 30. That's a lot of money spent. And look, there's going to be gems in there, and I agree. I think it is far too early to write some of them off. But I think over the piece, I think the Rangers recruitment team over the last year has to do better.
Let's bring in Graham. Thanks, Stephen, for his time. How much better was it, Graham? Is that enough to get you going?
No, it's not enough to get you going yet, Gordon. I think you need to give them a wee while. I was saying to the boy there, I don't think they've got enough experience in the team. See, when Finlay Curtis goes through and he'd lay a pass, he shoots. He passes when he should shoot. Same with Gassama. Some of the decision making for the younger boys isn't great. When we came in, what'd you call him? Herod. His first one was McGregor and four guys that age. Big Smith had Davey Weir and all that. Guys that could just play 300-400. Young boys are making the wrong decisions, and I think if they get a bit more experience in there, the young boys would come on even better.
What do you think, Andy? Because Derek McInnes has spoken a few times about them looking young. He's used that phrase. And then the last couple of signings have been. But I feel like at the start, it wasn't that. When the guy who everyone keeps speaking about, Lauren Shankland, Cammy Devlin, Ben Godfrey, now granted he's been injured, so can't necessarily hold it against him. Dan Neal, Ross McCrory. The whole point was that they were signing experience at the start of this window. But those guys are not always starting football games. So now everybody's saying they need more experience. Where's the balance?
Yeah, well, there doesn't really seem to be much balance in terms of the message that Derek McInnes is portraying, and then even his team selection in the next game. And I don't disagree that they might need one or two more experienced members to try and help the current group they've got, but I would probably argue that wasn't too far away for Rangers' best 11 that they could potentially pick, and it doesn't include a couple of the experienced signings that you mentioned they signed in the summer. So, and it's got to be said, sometimes I think you can use the analogies when you've had a really poor performance. I actually thought Rangers played with quite a lot of experience towards the end of the game at Pittodrie. I thought they seen out the game extremely well. I thought they defended their box extremely well. Obviously Ben Godfrey comes onto the pitch for the last 10 minutes, so maybe Derek McInnes could argue that helped. But the big thing for me is I think Rangers lack quality more than experience. But the Minshew Kim, I'm fully on board with what Graham and Stephen says. I think he certainly made a difference yesterday, and by all accounts looks as if there's going to be a couple more coming in over the next couple of days.
Anything else that worries you, Graham, or you think really needs fine tuned quickly to keep this, you know, to turn this into a winning run?
I think you need another centre half, mate. Another centre half in an injured ant. Midfield player just goes beyond the strikers. There's big Fernandez for me is just an accident waiting to happen. And there's Nibda goes beyond. Nibda went out well, they did yesterday, right enough. But normally, the last few games, they've all been going beyond Shankland. Everyone's defeat. Everybody's come towards the ball. So another centre half in a forward thinking midfield player.
Kevin Kelsey's the one that looks like it's going to be next, David. I think he had his medical today. Portland Timber striker, costing a lot of money, so very much the use of Chirmiti replacement. But Graham's looking at other areas as well.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem as if Rangers are going to be the market if you just take centre half to start with. And I suppose the unknown is Ben Godfrey, because he came off the back of some injury hit seasons. He starts the season for Rangers, gets injured again. So is he going to be robust enough to go and see, you know, really, really chalk up the appearances and be that mainstay of the central defence? In terms of that midfielder, I just wondered whether Derek McInnes also feels that, in the sense that he played Minshew Kim in that sort of number 10 role, because when he was at Girona and even on loan at Andorra last season, he normally played as a left winger, kind of cutting in. I agree, I thought he played well. I thought he also showed a bit of personality. To go back to the stuff about experience and leaders and all that sort of stuff, I think what Rangers need is personality. They need players to be able to take responsibility and to be up to the task. But, you know, as things stand, I'd be surprised if Rangers brought in another midfielder, and certainly surprised he brought in a centre-half.
Yeah, I think the midfield area for me, Graham's a worry. I think they need another player in that position. Do I think they'll bring one in? No. I think they've got five or six or seven central midfielders in the building that, for me, are far too similar. I think they're all pretty much the same profile of player. You know, they're deemed a bit more destroyer-like than somebody that can really knit the game together for Rangers. And I think that's what they lack, as well as can put their game yourself, somebody that can really stretch the game for them. I mentioned a couple of times having watched Rangers this year, I think they're quite rigid. Not a lot of threats in behind, not a lot of options to their play. I do think that was slightly different yesterday, like I said, with just the dynamic movement and the pace and directness for the three that played behind Lorne Shankland. But I look at a Dan Neil and a Cammy Devlin, I think that works at Pittodrie for sure. If that's the same two at Ibrox trying to break down teams, I'd be a bit more worried.
0141 951 1025. Lots of incidents in that game at Pittodrie. We'll maybe take a look at some of those. Some interesting comments from the managers as well, so keep the calls coming.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and David Friel are here. Do keep the calls coming in after the weekend. Looking back, big decisions, big performances. Maybe you're looking to the transfer window closing. Do keep the calls coming in anyway. Let's hear from Derek McInnes on that win at Pittodrie yesterday.
We've got our reward today, and probably for the first time this season, I really, really enjoyed watching the team. There's been momentary moments of enjoyment. You know, we know when we come here, you can't be sparkling for 90 minutes, but you need to compete and you need to bring quality. And I thought we did all that in abundance. It was the team that I kind of hope we can be. Just we need to show our teeth a bit more as an attacking team at Rangers. And I thought we had people in good positions to go and do that. Strong performance, deserved win. I thought we were good in the game. I've always wanted to do that at Pittodrie, get over and clap with the fans and celebrate, because I thought they gave us brilliant back.
It's interesting because we said in the show on Saturday that Derek McInnes is still very much in that territory of, like, there's results, performances, but also people are on every word that he says after, you know, pouring over everything. And I saw quite a lot of Rangers fans, even Andy, on social media saying, oh, it was a good win, but hold on, I wouldn't go that far to say I enjoyed watching it. I don't know, is that fair criticism, or are we reading too much into the things Derek McInnes says?
I'm a bit in between. I didn't think it was a great performance. As I said, I didn't think it was a great game, but I do think Rangers deserve to win the game. There's no doubt about it. What was it, the phrase he just used there? He said, that's how I want my team to look, or something loosely around the words. I think he's even expecting his team to be much improved than they were at Pittodrie. And I think it was the very first caller, Stephen, that called in, talking about potential success that Rangers may have this year. If for Rangers to have any success this year, I still think they have to be better than they were yesterday. But there's no doubt whatsoever it was a massive win.
It's interesting hearing these words there after that game and comparing them to the Jablonec game, Gordon, where he left his players without a name, essentially. You know, he spoke about his support staff and how everybody was prepared properly for the game, they just didn't deliver. He's maybe going slightly over the top in terms of that's how he wants his team to play going forward, because I said it's a great result for Rangers, but the performance can be better. But I don't really blame him, because I think he's now at the stage where he has to make sure there's a bit of togetherness, a bit of spirit, because there was a lot of questions being asked after Thursday night and what he'd said.
A few big decisions in the game. Aberdeen felt aggrieved, according to Stephen Robinson.
The authorities made sure we don't give our thoughts, so we all seen the game. Well, the only thing I can comment on is I don't know who judges the amount of force. There wasn't enough for Kevin to get a penalty, but there was enough to disallow the goal. Somebody's made that decision rightly or wrongly, and it certainly affects the game. They seem quite similar to me, but I'm not a referee, and I can only control the things that I can in terms of our performance. There was lots of good stuff, there was lots of battling qualities, there was a real desire and determination. Key moments went against us. Two choices: you feel sorry for yourself, you blame everybody else, or you look at what you can do better, and that's certainly what we'll do as a group of players and staff.
Well, if there was criticism of Derek McInnes going over the top, then I wonder what the criticism is of Stephen Robinson. I thought his analysis of the game was a completely different game to I watched. He said moments of quality. I thought Aberdeen showed nothing, like absolutely nothing. I thought they were dreadful over the game. And if he thinks that's a penalty on Kevin Nisbet, then just as well he's not a referee, because we have a lot of complaints about our referees just now, but that cannot be deemed a penalty kick. And then it'd be interesting to see if he was even shown or notified the fact that the offside, the disallowed goal was actually offside as well. But for me, there was a foul on Dujon Sterling, but it's irrelevant because by the end. Kevin Nisbet was a couple of yards offside. So I think the only real contentious decision within the game was, could Finlay Curtis had a penalty in the first half? If it was given, if it wasn't given, I wouldn't have been in here up in arms anyway.
I think it's a sort of marginal
I think so. I think if the referee gives a penalty on field, I don't really think VAR gets involved. The fact there's no penalty, I can see that as well. But in terms of the two major decisions that he mentioned, there's no doubt that both of them are spot on.
Is Stephen Robinson right to feel aggrieved?
No, he's clutching. He's absolutely clutching. I mean, it's not... Dujon Stirling has pushed, whether he likes it or not. But as Andy said, he's also offside, Kevin Nisbet. So Matthew McDermott, to be fair, you could see him on the footage bringing the two captains together and explaining it. And in terms of the Kevin Nisbet penalty one, I just didn't really see an infringement. I still don't understand why he didn't just head the ball into the net.
It is a strange one, isn't it? Because like when you watch it, it kind of looks like there must be a foul. Does that make sense? Yeah. And then I don't know if you actually really see that once you...
It's a really strange one. I'm saying, I just wonder whether Kevin Nisbet realised he wasn't going to get it and just felt right up and down.
Yeah, that's how I felt. But I understand your point. You see it in full flight. You can understand why you
thought, just think, like, why is he not headed down?
But the word tug was mentioned a couple of times. There's not a tug, I think we can agree. So I was then trying to look for, is there a tangle of legs that makes him go down that way? But I don't know if it was just a case that he feels that he's not going to get the end of it and tries to buy one. But yeah, certainly not a penalty kick.
Do you know what I'm glad we didn't have up here this weekend? Harry Maguire. What about that?
By the handball.
Yeah. How many shows would you get out of that?
I bet they wish that just went indirect.
Yeah, but I mean, can you even be sure it's not? Are you sure that's not hitting the target?
I couldn't categorically tell you it's
and
not.
And then that's the bit that allows the goal to stand. Yeah. Anyway, if you've not seen it, we've got enough drama up here to worry about. Let's bring in Derek, who's on the show. We just heard your namesake, Derek McInnes, talking about how he enjoyed watching his team yesterday. Derek, you the same?
No, I think he must have been the only one. The only thing good about yesterday was the fact that it was 3 points and a clean sheet. And even then, clutching at straws for Robinson. I think McInnes is. I don't even know where to start. I listened to Andy over the weekend in a few different shows, and I think everything he says is spot on. But in the nicest way possible, the guy who hit the nail on the head for me, it's a bad day. Even Tony Watt can identify what your problem is at Rangers when you've got a recruitment team that are paid every day a salary to try and fix that. I mean, Andy knows the figures better than I do. We're saying, 30-odd players, and we've not got one player in midfield that can play a progressive pass. And as you said, I'm sure it was Tony Watt that said, the player that Nico Rassin thinks he is the player that Rangers need. But the amount of times I'm fed up seeing centre-backs pass the ball from the left-back to the left centre-back to the right centre-back to the right-back to repeat it again, why can nobody play a pass into the midfield? And again, Dan Neil's probably the only one I would say in our entire team that you've seen for the Jagiellonia goal that will try that forward pass, but he looks as if he's not got any confidence. Everybody else looks terrified to make a mistake. And 3 points is 3 points, but did he even have a clear-cut chance at goal yesterday other than the penalty? It's the recruitment team is a mess. And even, I know I've been on a lot here, but who's looking at these players? Yokota has made 70 of first-team appearances. The guy's 27 soon. Who at Rangers are sitting down saying, I know what we need a winger, a guy who's been sent on loan from Belgium to Hanover, who failed to get relegated. Aye, let's go and spend money on him. And to be fair, he's not done that bad, but who's making these decisions? It's year after year, the same problem with Gio, it's the same problem when Van Bronckhorst was in charge. It's just sickening.
Andy, there was another comment I think that some fans latched onto from Derek McInnes, because Derek, who's on the line there, is talking about we need more in midfield, but Derek McInnes said something along the lines of we don't need to be brilliant through the middle or something like that. And again, I've seen a great split on that of people saying, aye, good, fine, get both boxes right, get wingers, get the balls in, we'll win games, it'll be fine. And then other people like Derek, and I think that tends to be the way you see football as well, are wondering what that means for a kind of lack of control, if that's the right word.
And I think especially when you have situations like the Hibs game and the Jabonets game, where you have essentially 75% possession against teams you really have to break down, and that is when, for me, you do need your midfield to be brilliant, because quite often you don't have the space to run in behind or space to play in pockets of space, so it's up to your midfield to try and progress the game for you. And for me, I think Daniel and Cammy Devlin, I think they are a midfield partnership that I can see playing in Pittodrie and Tynecastle and Celtic Park. But I think when it's a different type of football game, again, I think you need somebody that can really connect the game, someone that can, take the ball off a centre half and, as Derek put it, try and split passes and progress the game for Rangers. I look at all our Rangers midfielders and I don't really see any of them incapable of playing a pass over 20 yards, you know, making a switch of play and try to break down a defensive unit by a ball over the top. So for me, I do think they're all pretty much too similar. I actually felt, I don't know if Derek feels the same, I actually thought Dan Neil had a good second half yesterday. I thought he really improved in the second half. And the build-up play for Rangers' penalty, I think it's arguably the best passing move that Rangers have had all season long. And it comes from Finlay Curtis roaming in off the line and creating a 3v2 overload in the middle of the pitch. I think it's Dan Neil that plays a one touch round the corner and it springs Rangers into attack. And I've not seen enough of that for the midfield for Rangers. And I've said that a couple of times. I think in an ideal world, I think Rangers recruit again, at least one in that area of the pitch. But I can't see it.
So still a good bit to go for you then, Derek.
I think so, and the thing is you said there, Derek McInnes doesn't even think we need midfielders, and I watch football, I'm not that they play football or anything like that, but for me, if you're going long, and that's what I think he's done a few times, the midfield, you need, if we're going long, you need to pick up the second ball, we look a mile off that, and as Andy said there, it's all right saying that, but if you're an opposition team and you're playing at Ibrox and you know that Rangers are going to have that 60-70% possession, just let them have the ball. Let them have the ball and counter-attack. If you've got the amount of times, I think Devlin done it twice yesterday, just passing the ball out of play. It's like Dan Neil's getting so much abuse, I think, because they think he's Joe Rothwell and they think he's these championship players and he's been tabbed with that sort of brush, but he is genuinely the only one, him. And I think I've seen Manny Fernandez try a chipped over the top ball once for Nico Raskin in a European game. They're the only people that look in our entire team to play a progressive pass, and it's honestly just hard to watch, isn't it?
Derek has got a long way to go in his mind, but we'll see. Thank you very much, Derek and Lark Hall. What about David on the other line? Hi, David.
Hiya.
Oh, David, go and turn your radio off, will you?
You want it turned off?
Yeah, go on then. It's bad enough listening to us once, never mind twice. Nobody needs that to ruin their night. Right, what are you thinking?
I'm a Rangers fan and I'm a wee bit concerned why Raskin, Suter and Majorski is nowhere near the first team. My Majorski came on the European game, but he's never had a chance, in my opinion. We've got two proven goal scorers in Scotland, Shankland and Majorski. Yet they're spending all that money on a boy from America, and we don't know if he's any good or not any good.
Well, then you could say that people do feel like they know that Majorski isn't any good. You know, some David feels he hasn't had a chance. I think other people, I mean, this will be, is this his third Rangers manager?
Yeah, I think so. I think to touch on the three ones that David mentioned there, you know, John Suter's clearly just been frozen out. He's surplus to requirements. Rangers would like him to go and he needs to find a club within the next couple of days. I think Nico Raskin is someone who Rangers would think the time is right to cash in on. I think it's been clear the last couple of games.
What's happening there? And both of you, let's open up a wider discussion there, because whether David likes it or not, John Suter's out of the picture. He just is probably similar to Majorski. What's the deal with Nico Raskin, where he keeps getting left out of squads, but there's no bids?
Yeah, for me, Nico Raskin's still Rangers' best midfielder, undoubtedly, to be honest with you. And I don't know if that was almost the Yusuf Chermiti situation almost spooked Rangers a little, where the bid came in and within, what was it, 3-4 days he does his ACL. Now, there's been no bid for Nico Raskin, but by all accounts there seems as if there's been plenty of interest there, and Rangers wanted to try and avoid a similar situation to happen. Now, I defended the decision at the time to play Yusuf Chermiti. You can't legislate for somebody doing the ACL at the side of a pitch. So I think if Nico Raskin's still available, you do play him. But that's 3 games now that he's been left.
Because, I mean, by the time deadline day comes around, it'll presumably be 4 games, David. They'll play on Wednesday night. I always think if a player's going to be left out for this, it's because you're pretty sure he's going to go. But how sure can you be he's going to go if there's not been any bids?
But is
he
just
stage?
Protecting your asset?
But that's what I mean. So is there a scenario where he could sit out 4 games and then stay?
I honestly think there is, because
that's bizarre, though, no?
Well, maybe, but Andy mentioned Yusuf Chermiti. I would go across the city where you had a situation where you had two players going for big money. Arne Engels, Alistair Johnston. Yeah. Alistair Johnston gets injured, so he misses out as well.
To me, there's a subtle difference. Not even a subtle difference. Yeah. They were actually going. Is Nico Raskin going?
But I think Rangers feel he will go. So I think.
How strong can those feelings be if there's been no bids?
I agree with you. It's a very, very
Martin
strange
O'Neill
situation.
Had taken a phone call from David Moyes and Alistair Johnston. Well, Arne Engels is at West Ham, so that tells you that was happening. Is it the same?
I think it's the same in the sense that Rangers do believe he'll go, but I would love to know the inside out of why he's not going yet? Are Rangers asking for too much money? Is he not found a club that would like him, or is the interest just not there? But I would also question why the interest isn't there, because this was a guy that played for Belgium at the World Cup. Again, if you want to mention Engels, Engels couldn't get in the Belgium squad and has just gone for £22 million. So why is Raskin not, why would he not be the subject of big bids?
David, thank you very much. It's a good time to call Celtic fans. Where are you? You're looking back on the weekend. It was a routine win. What stood out for you? Camilo Duran through the middle. How's that going to work when Casper Hu comes back? You've got the transfer window as well. Let me tell you about this first. Clyde One. On Friday, we paid out even more life-changing cash to Russell and his partner, who were gobsmacked to get the call, as you would be. We go again this Friday with £400,000 up for grabs, and it is all tax-free. Text YES to 61025. Texts are £250, or you can grab five entries for a fiver. Text MEGA to 61025. Standard network rates apply. Over 18s only. Enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. All the rules for this network competition are there. Lines close 5pm Friday. Hopefully I did forget, I remembered to mention it's over 18s, and just answer your phone. It's that simple. So text YES to 61025.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
David Friel of the Scottish Sun and Andy Halliday of every media outlet in the country, and even the ones you've not heard of, is here as well. 0141 951 1025. He saves his best stuff for on here, he told us. So you're in good company. Keep the calls coming in. Looking at the phone lines lighting up on various topics, and then just one caught my eye there from Stevie, and it says doesn't want on the show, but just wants to let us know that the whistle at the end of Beat the Pundit timer makes his dog pee in the house.
There you go. Get him on.
Great feedback. Although pee is obviously not the word that's on my screen, so thanks for that. Whoever in here typed that out, could you have just written it in a more friendly way for us? But anyway, anything about your pets, feel free to share them as well. We'd rather talk football if we can. Celtic fans, might be a good chance for you to jump in. I suppose it was important to bounce back, but it was also one of those fixtures you were never getting away with not winning. Quite routine. You now turn your attentions to the transfer window. Anything in particular that jumped out for you from the weekend?
No, I just, as we say, Celtic looked a bit leggy, but I thought it was really interesting seeing Camilo Duran play through the middle. And take his chance. Obviously Casper, who injured, you know, I think he's just been a really good signing, Duran. You can tell he's got quality. But the one that really stood out for me, Gordon was playing behind him, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, kind of got under the radar. Obviously came in last season, wasn't fit.
Andy Halley's nodding furiously. Yeah,
he's
as
got
well.
A pre-season under him. He was obviously in the team because Callum McGregor was out, and I thought he rolled back the ears slightly.
Yeah, I thought he was excellent. And I think there's always an added interest when Callum McGregor's not in the team, because he's always in the team. So it was interesting to see how Oxlade-Chamberlain can carry the mantle, and I thought he was excellent. I thought his range of passing, his ability to connect the game for Celtic, the game looked almost suited to him, in the sense that he was allowed to kind of receive the ball, head up with loads of space, and I don't think there's any doubt about his technical ability, but I thought he was excellent.
I'm also interested in the Haysem Hassan verdict after his first game, because clearly quick, clearly very direct, but he likes a wee flick and tick.
Can I fling in another?
You can fling whatever you want.
I'm always interested with the trusty Scales debate of who's going to partner Cameron Carter-Vickers, and I feel like Scales is sometimes, I think sometimes that he wasn't bought for a lot of money, gets held against Liam Scales. For me, I don't think there's any doubt, in my opinion, he's a much better option than Austin Trusty. I think Austin Trusty's showed enough now that he just hates physical contact up against strikers. I thought Liam Scales came in for him at the weekend. I thought he played well again.
Anything jumped out for you, Celtic fans? Answer them in. 0141 951 1025. Maybe you've got signings on your mind. John, what do you think?
Yeah, it's about the Celtic signing the ball. I think it's a bit crazy, because last week we're going to try and get into Champions League to get £40 million. And I see the day that they're going to sign three midfielders. Why didn't they do that about a month ago? Why didn't they do it about a month ago to help the team to try and get into Champions League? The day I saw the time, when are they going to change this policy? Because it's crazy. That's my point tonight, mate.
Fabrizio Friel, as we dubbed him earlier. Right, I have seen four or five names linked with Celtic today.
Too many names, Gordon.
Give us them in order of likelihood to happen.
Well, I'll start with Joel Vandenberg, who's an attacking midfielder from PSV. He's only 19. He plays for Dutch under 19 team. He's very highly rated, but has been frustrated by his PSV chances, first team wise, and he will be coming into Celtic.
That's happening for
me. I think that is almost certainly happening. £3.5 million, quite a big investment, but I think Celtic see him as one for the here and now and the future. The one that came out of the blue this morning from our friends in Denmark was Oliver Sorensen, who is a dynamic, energetic, box-to-box midfielder who left Michelin last summer to go to Parma in Serie A for £8.5 million, a lot of money. He played a lot of games for Denmark under-21s, not got a senior cap yet, but was very, very highly rated. I think he's played a lot. He has played a lot in Italy, but for whatever reason, Parma are willing to let him go on loan with an option to buy, and it looks as if that one is very close as well. The unknown just now is Gvidas Giannetis, who Celtic have been watching for months.
This is one from Torino,
Lithuanian midfielder that Celtic have been watching for a long time now. Reports again in Italy came out this morning that Celtic had put in a fresh bid for him. What we don't know is the timeline in terms of, I don't think Torino at that bid, if it was made at a certain level, were happy with it. I don't know if Celtic have then moved on to the Parma player.
So you think two midfielders, but maybe three?
Maybe three.
Because three would be quite interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, definitely would be. Because you're then really stocked up. I mean, we spoke about Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, Cal McGregor's still there. You've got Mika Bauer just in. You've also got Benjamin Negredin playing that attacking role that I think Vandenberg will also help out in that sense.
You've got Luke McCown. Not gone yet, though.
No, but I think he will go. Yeah. I think he'll certainly go in the next 48 hours.
That's all well and good. What about John's point about how long it takes? We have this conversation sort of one way or the other about Celtic every year. Mika Bauer was the last signing in. That was, how is my maths, 18 days ago, something around that. Surprised it's taken that length of time to add to it.
Well, I'm surprised, and then I'm not surprised because it's kind of what Celtic do. Look, I think this, in terms of the transfer strategy this summer, I think Celtic have certainly bought well in terms of Casper Hu and Camilo Duran to the top end of the pitch. Mika Bauer looks a very tidy player, come in for a relatively, £5-6 million. I think Haysem Hassan was signed too late, but he's shown enough that he will get up to speed. I think the accusation that can be levelled against the Celtic board is why they didn't strengthen other key areas that Celtic need to strengthen. Start with a goalkeeper. If Martin O'Neill wants a goalkeeper should have been in before the Champions League playoff. And the left back situation is clearly one that Celtic haven't tended to. You know, Marcelo Saracchi went a long time ago. I mean, you talk about 18 days ago, Mika Bauer saying, Gordon, how long was it that Landon Emanalo got his VIP tour of Lennoxdown? And Celtic still haven't got a left back in. To touch on Andy's point about Liam Scales, he's had to play as an auxiliary left back, which means he hasn't been as available to play centre half next to Cameron Carter-Vickers, which I agree, I think, would be Martin O'Neill's first choice. So there have been positions that haven't been addressed quickly enough by Celtic, and I don't think anybody can argue against that.
Interesting. Three midfielders would be quite. I think you used the word interesting. I think that'd be very interesting.
Maybe too many, too many, if that's the right phrase.
Yeah, well, it's then the rich old argument. You know, is it difficult to keep them all happy and give them all, you know, sufficient playing time? I think it makes obviously more sense if you think that Rio Hatate is going to go. How does that look for Luke McEwen's future?
None of this stuff is throwing Callum McGregor into doubt. No, that's
no.
Always...
I mean, obviously the cynics come out and say Callum McGregor missed training and with an illness and missed the game. But as far as I'm led to believe, Callum McGregor will be staying.
Sorry, Andy, I just wanted to clear that up.
Yeah, but David mentioned, or Fabrizio, sorry, mentioned the key position at left back. I think that is an area that at the 31st of August, it's quite incredible that Celtic haven't rectified that position in the pitch yet. And by all accounts, that Kieran Tierney came off at what looked as if it could potentially be cramp again. And then there's chat
goalkeepers even stranger just because Kasper Schmeichel retired in March.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That is the accusation that's levelled against. You know, Kasper Schmeichel. Plus Gordon, he was also out of contract. He was going into his last year's contract last summer. Celtic knew they weren't going to extend that. He was probably always going to retire after the World Cup if Denmark had got there. So yeah, look, I'm really surprised Celtic didn't get a goalkeeper. To touch on Andy's stuff about left back, even more surprised. I mean I know there's been lots of stuff flying about again about Kieran Tierney. I'm told it's not anywhere near as serious as people are making out, and he could even be fit for midweek. I'm not saying he's going to play, but then there might be the option for that to happen. So, but Celtic need to help. You know, they need to help from him because he's not going to play every minute of every game if Celtic are going to play 60 games this season.
We've got a big game of our own. Let's crack on with it. Thank you, John.
Beat Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on down if you fancy Beat the Pundit. I know there's no Roger Hanna, but Fabrizio Friuli has shown that he's nearly on that level, I would say. Let's see if you can topple these two tonight. 01419511025, and the lines close at 7.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
David Friel and Andy Halliday are here at 01419511025. We talked quite a bit about Pittodrie yesterday. If you want to elaborate on the game itself or any decisions, please do. We got into a little bit of Celtic's transfers there with Fabrizio Friuli. He's got you covered. If you want to ask any questions whatsoever, nothing this man doesn't know about Celtic's transfer business. And loads to get through. We said earlier, I was there in Paisley yesterday. Before you even touch on the specifics, it was just brilliant. How good a game was that? High quality goals, controversy, drama. It had absolutely everything. So why don't we talk about that one or anything else? Any UCO Marnock fans out there willing to share your angst with us? Because we had more than one on the phone on Saturday. So I wonder how you're feeling. We've got the transfer business to deal with. And I think we might get the outcome of Derek McInnes's hearing right about now as well. So get in touch.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
And indeed we do have breaking news. Following that appeal, it's a partial victory of the appeal. Is that the right way to word it, David Friel? So Derek McInnes will be banned, but it's been reduced to 2 games and 2 games suspended. So remember, it was 3 games with 1 game suspended, but it's now 2 and 2. So therefore, to Wednesday's trip to Falkirk, Saturday's game at Ibrox, he will be in the stands, but he will then be back on the touchline for the game against St Mirren first, and then of course Celtic, which follows there after. So any reactions, feel free, get them in, and we'll play Beat the Pundit first. You've got all sorts of responsibility, David Friel. You're taking Roger Hanna's role at the Scottish Sun. You're in here. You've had to pick the team of the week, which is getting you abuse online. And you might need to play Beat the Pundit as well. But I'll get to your team of the week maybe before the end of the show. Let's bring in Jamie, who's going to play tonight. How are you, Jamie?
Not bad. How you doing?
What's your CV, Jamie? Is this a debut? Have you done this before?
No, this is a debut.
Right, okay. Fancy your chances? Quite a tough school on a Monday.
No, I know it's going to be a tough one, but I'll see how it goes.
I'm worried that there's a bit of a delay on the line. As someone from North Lanarkshire, I can make the jokes about Belsell being in a different time zone, but it's I'll do the questions faster for Jamie than I do for these two. Blue, it will be Andy Halliday, and red, it will be David Friel, and it will be Andy Halliday taking on Jamie from Belsell. So give Andy something else in his ears, please, nice and loud, and that way Jamie doesn't want to pass on the questions just yet. So 30 seconds, Jamie, answer as many as you can, and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Yep.
30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Who's vice captain of Rangers? Jamie, can you hear us? Why does this keep happening? It's a disaster. Call it off. Call off the full thing. Stop that clock. This is the second week in a row. Give these guys music back so that they can actually give me them so they can hear me. Can you hear me now? Got me now? Loud.
Got you. Yes, that was rapid.
No, it's because I didn't even get any questions in. This keeps happening. This happened last week. The caller just cut off.
It's a different caller.
During
Jamie's.
I think we might need to go for a different caller. Why does this keep happening? So honestly, Belsell.
Jamie's gone.
Either that or he's bottle crashed.
Did he get any questions at all?
I asked the first question, but genuinely I'm not convinced they heard it because it went pretty silent straight away. So what I'll do is I'll pad until we get another caller lined up, and I'm sure we'll get someone. Brief reaction then to that Derek McInnes news.
Slightly surprised, only because it's very rare for appeals to win. We're that used to appeals being dismissed and the ban stands. But obviously Rangers have just put a statement out. They've not kind of said much about it. They've just explained that he will miss the next two games, but I'm sure Rangers are pretty happy. I'm sure Derek's pretty happy.
But then at the same time, Andy, it's a bit of a by the way, prepare yourself. It will be spun both ways for sure over the next hour. But David calls it a win. It is a bit, but he's still got a 2-game ban. By the way, it's also a charge from when he was the Hearts manager. So I know that Rangers have taken it on, obviously, but it is still a 2-game ban. It was going to be 3. What do you think of that?
Yeah, well, I said at the top of the show when we were talking through the other room there, quite often you do see these dismissed, so there is an element of surprise. I don't have a huge kind of anything else to say to elaborate on, but I didn't think they would even get the partial win anyway. But like he says, it'll get spun in two different narratives.
Let's
anyway.
The elephant in the room is always the Celtic game, but he was likely to be.
He was going to make it anyway
because the St Mirren game got scheduled in.
That got rearranged as well. I mean, I think I remember at the time of the original hearing, I think Rangers felt they had a strong case, given that they had examples of other managers saying very similar things. I think Peter Grant, when he was Alloa manager, was one of the examples they used. But I think Rangers were surprised at the time that it was a three-match ban.
Because there also had been a rule change as well, hadn't there, since... Because even Brendan Rodgers said something quite recently, but then the rule changed after that. Anyway, now we're going over old ground. This is what appeals do to you. Lewis is on to help us out and beat the pundit. Are you ready, Lewis?
Yes, I am, mate.
Lewis, this is like when you don't expect to get thrown on as a sub and you just need to hit the ground running. Are you ready for that?
Of course I am.
Good. Oh, I love Lewis's confidence. It's still going to be Andy Halliday, so let's give him something else to listen to. I will scrub out the first question and we'll get ready to go. Lewis, you've got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
No worries.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. How many Celtic managers did Kyogo play under?
Three.
Which team were sponsored by Brayhead Shopping Centre?
Livingston.
Who returned to Kilmarnock this summer after a decade away?
Finlay Curtis.
Kilbowie Park was the home of which club?
Pass.
Which brand is the ball provider of the SPFL?
Mitre.
Since 2000, which team's won the most Scottish Cups but not the League Cup?
Pass.
In what year was VAR introduced in Scotland?
2022.
Okay. Andy Halliday, can you hear us?
Yes.
Good. Same set of questions to you. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. How many Celtic managers did Kyogo play under?
Two.
Which team were sponsored by Brayhead Shopping Centre?
St Mirren.
Who returned to Kilmarnock this summer after a decade away?
Kilty.
Kilbowie Park was the home of which club?
Clydebank.
Which brand is the ball provider for the SPFL?
Puma.
Since 2000, which side has won the most Scottish Cups but not the League Cup?
Pibs.
In what year was VAR introduced in Scotland?
2021.
Okay. Lewis, they were tough. Lewis, they were tough to repeat it, weren't they?
Oh, that Kilmarnock one, I got that was...
Oh, I know, but listen, under the pressure, it's difficult to dig something out. How many managers did Kyogo play under? It was actually only two. It was Postecoglou and Rodgers. Lewis said three, and I was trying to, but he was gone.
I wasn't confident when I said that either.
Yeah, it was 1-0. And Lewis, I can see your thinking here. You've just associated Livingston with shopping centres, but you needed geography on your side here.
Okay.
Brayhead, it's St Mirren. It is. But you're from that neck of the woods.
Well, I just went off the geography.
What did you? I know you went to school in Renfrew or something. High. Did you? Yep. There you go. Nipped down to Brayhead. Not that close, is it?
I was more an escape man.
Oh, were you? Yeah. Right at the IMAX.
Get me fudge cake for TGI's.
Honestly, this guy strikes us as he likes to come across as some working class hero. Yeah. He's down skiing. He's
snowboarding.
Honestly, you think you know a guy. 2-0 Andy Halliday. Unbelievable. The Kilmarnock returnee was Mark O'Hara, not Greg Kilty. He wasn't away quite as long as that, so it was Mark O'Hara. Clydebank was the home, played at Kilbowie Park, so I'm afraid it's 3-0 Andy Halliday. And it was for a long time Mitre, Lewis, but it is now Puma. I'm worried for Lewis here because Andy's 4-0 up and cruising. He does start with -1, of course, so it's a 3-0. This is a good question. You know when you hear the answer, you're going to say, of course it is. But I think under pressure, since 2000, who's won the most Scottish Cups but no League Cups? Hearts.
One.
Two.
Two.
2006 and 12, but they've not won the League Cup in that period, so none of you got it. Lewis, the worst thing, because I always am on the listener's side, the worst thing is a zero. So all I'm out for here is for you to get something on the board. In what year was VAR introduced in Scotland? Andy said 2021. You said 2022. And you are correct. It's 2022, Lewis.
Happy days.
Happy days.
I'll get you Andy something to shout about this year, so.
Exactly. That's true. So the worst it is, now that he's retired as well, like, you know what I mean? Like, at least last year he had he had Jens Ball and all that and Motherwell to sort of keep him interested or give him a bit of kudos, or that supporting role you were playing in the dressing room. Now it's
I still look out for Hearts and Motherwell.
You're getting a lot of praise for your punditry. I'll give you that much.
I think Hearts and Motherwell will be good again this year. It's got to be said.
Early signs are good. Yeah, I'm hoping maybe Hearts and Motherwell fans will phone us. Lewis, you're a Celtic fan, is that right?
Yes, correct.
Take much away from the weekend? I suppose it had to be a win after the European thing, didn't it?
It was 3 points, but I think it was still kind of it was an ugly win. Very ugly win, you know what I mean? So there's still a lot of bouncing back to do, especially after that performance in Europe. You need a good couple of performances to just paint over the cracks with that, you know what I mean?
We love a generalisation in Scottish football, and I'll always kind of criticise people for it, and now I'm about to do it. I always think those games, those exact ones for Celtic, 3 o'clock, Saturday, home against a Falkirk or a St Mirren, see when it ends 2-1, you always not unconvincing, ugly, Lewis called it. But I always think the one thing that tends to run through them is Celtic do have chances, and if they just take them a little bit earlier, it puts a different complexion.
Yeah, I don't think Celtic are in much danger, to be perfectly honest with you. I was actually a bit disappointed with Falkirk in the end. You know, I'm a big fan of John McGlynn and everything he's done there. I just think they've got such a turnover of players, Gordon. But although it went to 2-1, I didn't really feel that Celtic were hanging on. I know Martin O'Neill was really agitated in the touchline, but I think it was pretty comfortable, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was a lot more convincing than the results suggested.
Because what did you have? Negrin was kind of through and goal.
Benjamin Negrin missed 2 great chances. Yeah. Scott Bain makes a brilliant save with almost his left shoulder. And then he has the one that he spoons well over the bar about 5 minutes later. But like David said, I think the biggest disappointment for Falkirk's perspective is, you know, after you make it 2-1, you're expecting a touchy Celtic part. I don't even think they got anywhere close to Celtic's box for the remainder of the game. So professional, not amazing, but professional performance.
How are you feeling about signings, Lewis?
To begin with, it was the start of the window, it didn't look promising. I thought it was going to be loanees again, loans here. But you know, son, it's been a good window, and I think we'll sign a couple more either tonight or tomorrow. I think is it tomorrow the window shuts?
So this is the thing, David, that's actually quite interesting for Celtic this year. It's Thursday, it's transfer deadline day, but their European deadline is Wednesday.
Yeah.
So I don't think you can spin it any other way. Celtic's deadline's Wednesday.
Yeah, it's Wednesday night.
Celtic can't go about signing people only domestically, can they?
No. Plus, if you're trying to get players in, a big attraction will be Europa League football as well. So yeah, no, Celtic's, for want of a better expression, it is a bit earlier than is written down in paper, so they need to get players in by Wednesday.
You sound pretty confident there that will happen, Lewis, yeah?
Yeah, I think so, but we're getting put out of the Champions League. I've seen it all over circulating on social media. I think we've lost out on a good bit of quality because they're obviously getting put out of the Champions League, so I'm only short ourselves known for doing that, you know what I mean? But listen, I think the team we've got is good now, but I think we need another goalkeeper. Goalkeeper's what we need.
I'm always in. Who's the front runner for that goalkeeper? Still Toth?
Yeah, that seems to be the one that's getting more traction, or sorry, most traction.
Was there an inquiry about Sam Johnson?
Yeah, well, he was being linked, but I'm not sure if it was coming the other way, if that makes sense. I'm not sure if he was getting touted around. But he's had a really bad shoulder injury. He's just back from shoulder operation.
Celtic don't need that, do they?
I'm not sure they do.
Have they been in that movie before? Yeah, it's going to be certainly an interesting few days on that front. Any departures apart from Rio Hatate?
I wonder about Johnny Kenny, who is obviously way down the pecking order, but that might depend on Casper who obviously missed the game with injury, and Callum Osmond obviously went off right at the end. Gordon was spotted in a moon boot after it as well. So if both of them miss any kind of length of time, then Celtic would be stretched in number 9 issues. But I know Bolton are trying to get Johnny Kenny back. It just depends whether that happens or not.
I'm going to send a shiver down the spine of Celtic fans here. If you were in charge of Celtic's recruitment, Andy Halliday, you know that this is not a sabotage. It's not a sabotage issue. I can't believe you didn't use Hugh Keevans or something for that example. That shows you what you think of me. I know numbers wise they're okay at centre back, but again, you're not sabotaging. I'm pretending you care about the quality of the signings. Would you improve that area?
I would if there was scope to. It wouldn't be as high up the priority list as in our couple of positions, but yeah, I think someone else in that department. Just and to be honest, the bigger reason being is that there's got to be huge question marks whether Cameron Carter-Vickers can complete a season for Celtic. Yeah. I mean, it's every year he's been at a football club. By the time November, December comes around, he's not fit, he's not available. So
it's a good point, isn't it? Because the debate is always who partners him. So is it Trusty, is it Scales? Because I was going to ask before Andy introduced that, is it even an ideal scenario where it's almost, I don't know, it feels like a 50-50 split, where some people think it is Trusty, some people think it's Scales. But the backup to Carter Vickers is Dane Murray, I suppose, as well. Could they do with one there?
I think they probably could, but you know, you've got three senior guys there, and I think Celtic want to try and get a pathway for Dane Murray because he is highly rated. I feel a bit sorry for him because he keeps getting thrown into these big games, kind of at the deep end, going on as a sub. But I think it's a great point with Cameron Carter-Vickers, and not even so much just for his injury record. He's coming back off 9 months out with an Achilles injury, so I think Celtic need to be really careful managing his minutes as well. It didn't surprise me, he didn't last the 120 in Lintz. He then comes straight out and plays 90 against Falkirk. You know, does he go again on Wednesday ahead of a game on Saturday? I don't know. I think Celtic at some point will have to give him a bit of a rest. I think long term Celtic also have to think about that area. Trusty, like, he did okay at times last season, Gordon, but I agree, I don't think he's strong enough to play there.
Is that a particularly, well, the Celtic fans can answer this, but maybe frustration from the weekend linking back to midweek where all the guys that went off were fine to come back and play? Do you know what I mean? So clearly it was just a fatigue thing, a cramp, whatever. And I know that can happen, but I don't know, so many of them.
I was really, really surprised. I mean, I was a lot of things, but I think I had cramp once in my career. So the fact that three of your back four have cramp for the 60th minute onwards in the game on Tuesday night, I was really, really surprised. And then I was even more surprised to see three of them in the starting 11 at the weekend. I think especially in Cameron Carter-Vickers' instance, you know, it was clearly cramped, but it looks as if he was really struggling when the time he was trying to walk off the pitch. So I didn't expect to see him in the starting 11. And for me, I think that has to be an issue. I don't know, sports scientists is a rage old debate in modern day football, but very rarely do you see three defenders in the one game come off with cramp, especially so early in the season.
Okay, good time to get your call in. Maybe you want to elaborate on Celtic stuff there. We've got that breaking news about Derek McInnes, a partially upheld ban. So he's now banned for 2 games, 2-match suspended sentence as well, which means he'll miss the Motherwell game and the Falkirk game that's coming up, and then he'll be back in the dugout. So if you want to react to that, you can do. Still loads to get through from the weekend. I said it earlier, Kilmarnock fans, are you worried? This is the last day of August. It's a bit early to be hitting the panic button usually, but are you concerned at what you're seeing? And there was so much to get through from that game in Paisley yesterday. So both sides, get in touch. We'll speak to you next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday is here alongside David Friel. It's 0141 951 1025. That is the number that you need, so please do give us a call. I know you two like this, so let's do the old teaser.
The Full Time Teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrant drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Thank you to Mark in Stirling for sending this in. Now, it's not often I'd give you an English football question. Obviously here we are very much obsessed with North of the Border, but I think when it comes to trivia, sometimes it's acceptable, and I just up your street this. So Mikel Arteta is becoming the 10th manager to take charge of 250 Premier League games for one club. Can you name the other 9? So Mikel Arteta is becoming the 10th manager to reach 250 English Premier League games for one club only, but who are the other 9?
Who wants to take the best?
Sir Alex Ferguson, obviously.
Just the 810 or whatever it was, yep.
Arsene Wenger.
Even more, 828.
David Moyes.
I'll be really upset if you manage to nail this in order.
Jurgen Klopp.
Yes, okay, let's leave it there, because that's 4 out of 9, so that is a good start. Mikel Arteta becoming the 10th manager to take charge of 250 English Premier League games for one club. Can you name the other 9? Wenger, Ferguson, Moyes and Klopp. So it's a pretty good start so far. Let's bring in Stevie, who's a Celtic fan. Stevie, take it away.
Well, I usually slaughter the board.
Okay.
Because of the way they carry on with the transfer windows and the debacle last year and all that. And then I thought, I'm going to have to eat my words here, because they're signing some players, but they haven't signed enough players, and they haven't signed them soon enough. And you've seen the results of that in Austria on Tuesday. And I now think they're going there. I mean, could be wrong. It's my opinion. I now, based on past evidence, I think they're now going to revert to type. We'll end up with loan deals, with options to buy, last-minute buys, blah, 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 because we suddenly nailed it. You fail to, fail to prepare, blah, 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 right? Prepare to fail. And we've done our bit. The Celtic fans have done our bit, right? That was a horrible season last season. Hartley Neal goes out of jail, basically. And we've stumped up 700 quid a pop and all the rest of it, right? And bought all our season tickets and all that, right? And they promised us they were going to learn lessons. Carter Vickers even came out and said, we're going to learn lessons, you know, for the Kyra Almaty. Why not say that chat till you're qualified, right? This is nonsense. Well, we've not learned any lessons because we're out again, right? And what's going to happen now is they're going to punish the Celtic fans because they've not made the Champions League. As I say, we've done our bit. This is squarely on them. And they're now going to punish the Celtic fans. We're not getting the signs we need and blah, blah, blah. And we're interested in two guys, Mamich, another guy, blah. They're probably going to go somewhere else now. And we'll just be, that'll be up. That'll be up. There'll be no more big signings, as far as I can see. And they'll be punishing the Celtic fans for their own failings, their own incompetence once again. I didn't go to the game on Saturday. I'm totally scunnered. I didn't go to the game. I gave a ticket to my son so he could take my grandson. You know, I mean, that's how I feel.
David, that's quite a theory from Stevie. Says Celtic fans are going to be punished now and they'll miss out on all these targets. Is it as bad as
think,
that?
I don't think it's as black and white as that in the sense that the strategy completely changes. I think with a degree with Stevie is that if you look at the business that Celtic have done so far, you can talk about the time and all that sort of stuff, but Celtic are turning a profit right now, Gordon. So Celtic have made more money from transfers this summer than they've splashed out. And I think the Celtic fans are more than entitled to ask why that's the case. And more than entitled to expect a fair bit of business to be done over the next 2 days. Now, whether that becomes loans, I think in an ideal world, Celtic wouldn't want to go down that route because, to me, if you're going to strengthen with a view to try to win this league and get yourself prepared for the Champions League qualifiers next summer, then now is the time to sign players. You know, this was the window to sign players, not January when it's tough and not certainly try to cram it in at the start of next summer. So I think Celtic fans are more than entitled to ask for a bit of money to be spent in the team in the next 2 days. Whether they can do that or not, time will tell.
You'd be surprised if it was loans. I know what Stevie's saying, but it'll be more than that, surely, Andy. I know we always say, Hugh Keevans picked it up at the weekend. He said, surely is the word that you should never mention when it comes to Celtic's transfers.
Did you not say the boy Oliver Sorensen was a loan?
He's a loan with an option to buy. Vandenberg would be a permanent for $3.5 million, but you would imagine there's surely more money spent.
Yeah, you surely. Never know. Surely. I think Tuesday really did change the narrative in terms of Celtic's recruitment, because I think beforehand everyone was really happy with the business they'd done, but there was no doubt whatsoever that we're still short in a couple of areas. I think not identifying and not bringing in a left back before the qualifiers was a major issue, but when you see the three players coming off with cramp, another one coming injured and four players coming off, it then did really highlight the lack of depth that Celtic have in certain areas.
It's
of the
funny
pitch.
How everybody's right though, that thing, that debacle last week, everybody's, every school of thought is right, where you can say yes, of course, but we also need to, we are simply not having this discussion tonight. We're not having it if they just see out. Do you know what I mean? Like it does not exist.
Yeah.
If you just simply don't throw away a 4-goal lead. Do you know what I mean?
Hold on for 90 more seconds.
Yeah, like no. But yeah, hindsight's a wonderful thing and all that. And then I totally respect people say that's why they didn't hold on. Mm-hmm. But then I don't know, one or two, literally talking one better decision within a game, one slight, you know, moment.
The left back scenario in particular, I think though, was really important, because like he says, Kieran Tierney doesn't complete a lot of games of football. So if he doesn't complete a game at this moment in time, it's Liam Scales that goes in that scenario. And then when you have a right back and a centre half within the same game coming off injured, then it's really going to highlight the lack of options you have in the middle of the pitch. And then Stevie and other callers have phoned in about the midfield area. I feel as if I've been saying for the last two or three seasons, Gordon, you'll back me up on this, is that I do think Callum McGregor has been asked to do a hell of a lot week in, week out. And I think it's more exposed in Europe when it comes to the lack of protection that he has alongside him. I think you've seen that again in spades on Tuesday. So certainly somebody that can come in and help Callum McGregor in that area of the pitch, I think, is of vital importance.
Thank you very much to Stevie on 01419511025. Keep the calls coming in. If there's anything you want to discuss transfer-wise or otherwise, we are here for you. It's going to be an interesting few days for sure. On that front, David Friel, we were calling him Fabrizio Friel earlier on.
Stop that.
An interesting one that's just popped up, a name that we used to talk about obsessively in this show, and it's bad news for you, Andy Halliday.
What?
You're not getting the big return that you called for.
James Tavernier?
James Tavernier will not be coming back to Rangers.
Where is he?
He's going, apparently, to Israel to sign for Maccabi Tel Aviv under Kenny Miller.
Kenny Miller.
There you go. It's obvious what the connection was there.
Are you surprised it's taken that long to get a club, or was this always in the cards?
I'm not surprised. I think something happened recently that where it looked as if he was going to be signing for a club and that fell through. So I think that's
obviously. Was that club Rangers?
No,
Celtic. Need a right back.
Wow. I mean, that would be quite
we've
something.
We've had some mad calls on this show, but if that went over the line, then that'd be a special Monday.
Off on a tangent. Think the days of stuff that bizarre, you know, it's just gone. You know, it's just impossible now with the level of like scrutiny, and I don't know whether it's like social media feedback and the way everyone's got an opinion, you know. Like just, obviously, right, before Oliver, but take Mo Johnston as an example. It just wouldn't happen now, would it?
No.
Like, or even close though.
No, I don't think it would happen. I mean, Gordon Strachan in his spell.
Would you even get a Kenny Miller nowadays?
No, that's what I was going to say. I mean, you had Kenny Miller, you had Stephen Presley, Mark Brown, who'd all played for Rangers, signing for Celtic. No, I just don't think it would anymore. Certainly not James Tavernier. That would be.
Andy Haldy's retired anyway, so it takes it off the table.
When Jens gets a Celtic job, Andy can go as the assistant.
Oh, that's right.
That would kill me.
You get the chance to. You love your philosophy these days.
I thought for a long period of time he was going to be a Celtic manager, so I've went through certain scenarios in my head. Me being the assistant wasn't one of them.
Robert is an Aberdeen fan. Looking forward to this. Robert, what was your take on yesterday?
I don't know what Stevie Robbins is talking about. VAR. Can he talk about VAR? He's going to get a 6-week ban. I didn't see anything wrong with VAR yesterday. Referee, maybe a wee bit calf happy. Some of the fouls were just fouls. Well, I don't know what he's talking about. The Aberdeen goal, it was a foul. The Rangers penalty, it was a penalty. The Aberdeen penalty wasn't a penalty. I don't know what he's talking about. I don't know if the guy's at the point in his career where he's now just making excuses that he's really got it. And I know that's sad saying that so short into his tenure, but his signings, I don't know. I'm 68 in November. I've seen football players come and go. This current squad, I don't know who's picking them. These guys are no Premier League material in Scotland. First division at the worst, Championship at the best. They're no Premier League material. Honestly, two players in that team that I would say get near enough pass marks was Armstrong when he came on, and Olesanya, which I'm surprised to say because he usually doesn't do very much. But the rest of them, nah, sorry. Even Nisbet, greeting, moaning, throwing his cell about, throwing the toys out the pram, just do your job and put the ball in the net. I don't know. Robinson, nah, no for me. Didn't want him. I know a lot of guys that didn't want him. Sorry, no cutting the mustard with me.
I love a good moan and a good gripe on this show, but it's also it's just quite new and refreshing when an Aberdeen fan comes on and says, "What's the moaning for? The decisions were right," and it's I'm in danger of putting words in Robert's mouth, but almost like a deflection in his mind.
Yeah, and I can understand that because I just felt Aberdeen's performance was so poor, and I think Robert will watch Aberdeen a lot more than I do. But Gordon, I was up at Dens Park a couple of weeks ago for Dundee against Aberdeen. Now I know Aberdeen then beat Dundee in the cup, but Dens Park game, it was a real eye opener for me because Dundee played them off the park. I couldn't really understand what Aberdeen were trying to do, and I just don't think Stephen Robinson's put his identity into that team at all so far. Now there will be an argument, and I don't know what Robert thinks, whether his style of football is what Aberdeen fans want, but say what you like about the St Mirren team, they did get success through it, but he's not managed to do that so far. I think a lot of the signings haven't hit the ground running at all. And when Stuart Armstrong is coming off the bench at the age he is, he's been a great player in his career and has shown the kind of quality you'd expect from others, I think you can see you've got a problem.
I mentioned at the top of the show, I think that Pittodi for me is always one that you can accept, just winning games of football and not playing particularly well, because it has been a difficult venue for Rangers going back as long as I can remember. But it's the second game in a row Rangers played Aberdeen at Pittodrie, and Aberdeen have offered absolutely nothing to the game. Like, off the ball, on the ball, chance creation, aggressiveness, like everything about Aberdeen yesterday I thought was really, really poor. I also watched the same game that David was talking about at Dens Park, where Aberdeen were even worse than they were yesterday. They followed that up with a promising performance and result the following week against Dundee. But at this moment in time, we're all speculating about who's going to win the league table. When Stephen Robinson came in at Aberdeen, of course, the main remit is progression. But ultimately, what is success for Aberdeen? I think the club, the size of club Aberdeen, the expectation, the revenue, the amount of money they've spent in wages and whatnot, is sixth place even success? You tell me, Robert, as an Aberdeen fan, is sixth place for Aberdeen success this year? And do you even think you'll achieve that?
No, I don't think we'll get that. No, that's not a success. We've got to be realistic. You've got to finish. You've got to aim to finish second, third, at the worst, fourth, and have a cracking run in a couple of cups. I don't see that happening this season at all. The Dundee game that you're talking about at Dens Park yesterday was just a follow-on for that. I couldn't see a pattern. I mean, I was getting text messages all week. Oh, you're going to beat us. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And text messages for Celtic fans are going to give us a win. My gut feeling was, I'm thinking they're just going to go here and it's going to be flat. Again, and it was. Now, the Rangers are at an all-time low just now. If we can't raise our game against a Rangers team like that, something's no right. Something's no right. I don't know what his talk was before all week or the build-up to it or yesterday morning. Flat. No fight, no guts, no nothing, no... Pittodrie's a wee stadium. See, when big teams come up, you've got to hit them hard and let them know they're in a game. Nothing.
And Gordon, you mentioned the word deflection tactic, and you said about putting words in Robert's. I'm saying that is it. That's exactly what it is, deflection tactic. And if I'm Robert and I'm an Aberdeen fan, that leaves me more frustrated, because they watched the game, they know what they watched. And I think Stephen Robinson had previous to that last year with St Mirren side, were quite often, I felt as if he was quite harsh on his own players and not giving fair analysis on the game. But if I'm listening to his interview after the game and talking about periods of quality and battling performances, well, Robert, myself, and a lot of people that watch the game certainly watch something different.
I've got a wee bit of a frustration just generally, David, when you hear that. And I know why. Obviously, I know what they're going to refer to. We've just been talking about Derek McInnes's ban. But see, when managers say, I mean, we're not allowed to say our opinions. I mean, no. You are. Yeah. You're not allowed to say it in a certain way. No. And there's certain things you can't imply. But you're absolutely allowed to tell us all if you thought it was a mistake. And then why? Because inevitably, most of them do then go on to tell us that they thought it was a mistake anyway.
It was a kind of odd way of dealing with it. Look, I think Stephen Robinson, I don't really know what was going through his head at the time when he said it. But if he thinks they should have an appeal, and just say it. It kind of in a roundabout way started talking about contact and who decides what it is or not. It wasn't a penalty. The goal shouldn't have stood, and the Rangers penalty was deserved.
Again, to be really sort of basic about it as well, I agree that I think sometimes this is difficult, but the officials do need to decide what is too much contact and what isn't. It's the job.
Yeah, and it feeds into what Robert was saying about deflecting. So I think he was just, he'd obviously come in with the idea that he was going to mention this, and he was going to say it in such a kind of cryptic way that, in his words, wasn't going to get a 6-week ban. But I don't think, you know, Robert, I think you used the phrase, it's not cutting the mustard. I think Aberdeen fans can be demanding, but I think they can also see with their own eyes what's going on, and the standard performance has just not been good enough.
Okay, thank you very much to Robert, a disgruntled Aberdeen fan. I'm desperate to talk about this game in Paisley, if you'll indulge me, so it could be a good time to call. I've got a nice teaser for you too as well. Mikel Arteta becoming the 10th manager to take charge of 250 English Premier League games for one club. Who's the other nine? Wenger, Ferguson, Moyes, Klopp. One each.
Go on. Well, we mentioned Sir Alex Ferguson being the best. Unfortunately, I think this guy is slightly better. I'm going to go Pep Guardiola.
Correct.
What about Harry Redknapp?
Yes, three to get, and hopefully we'll get them next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Been a quick show, this always is on a Monday. We're into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still time to squeeze in a call if you so wish, and if not, we will work through the rest of the topics between us. How are you two doing on the teaser?
Amazing.
It is a nod to Mikel Arteta. He's becoming the 10th manager to take charge of 250 English Premier League games for one club. Who are the other nine? Arsene Wenger, Sir Alex, Davy Moyes, Pep Guardiola, Jurgen Klopp, Harry Redknapp. Three to get, give me one each.
Sam Allardyce for Bolton?
No,
I'm surprised at
that. Alan Kirbishley?
Oh, it's a wonderful shout. I thought it was the one you wouldn't get. Alan Kirbishley at Charlton.
That's a great shout. Jose Mourinho?
No.
Who do you feel for that's wrong then? So who do you feel strongest about with these? Oh, that's wrong as well.
See, I've got him written down.
So we'll go for it then.
Tony Pulis?
Nope.
Big tone.
Two to get. We'll get his baseball cap before the end. Do you know what I like? David Freeler mentioned it earlier. You are Roger Hanna's deputy in all sorts of ways, which means that we make you pick the team of the week for the Super Scoreboard Twitter, and you've been getting battered for some of your choices. So what's caused the most angst? Run me through your 11 from the weekend.
Can I just say that I've had a busy day?
No excuses.
I'm going to make an excuse. I'm going to stand by my selection, right. But I've had a busy day, and producer John texted me last night saying, remember, you're doing the team of the week, and then I'd forgot to send him a team of the week. So I've gone for Jack Walton in goals, kept a clean sheet down at Kilmarnock in that beautiful pitch.
Is he the only one that kept a clean sheet as well?
No, Ivor Pander did as well.
Okay.
But if I'd put Ivor Pander, my Twitter would have exploded.
Right.
I've gone for a very adventurous back three of Felix Paslak, Owethu Makanya, and Will Ferry. Then my midfield four, with apologies to Paul Inseo, because I thought he was good as well, as Alec Lowry, Laurent Mendy, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain and Minsoo Kim. And I've gone for Jadon Sancho, Martin Boyle and Camilo Duran. And people aren't happy, Gordon.
It seems fairly inoffensive to me. What should he have done, Andy Halliday?
So I went, I'm trying to find that, do you know where I put it? So I went Jack Walton as well. See, I went a bit more serious. I take these things serious. I went a full back forward, guys in position. I went Will Ferry left back, Paslak right back. I went Essalink and Makanya as my back two. Paul Inseo, Justin Devaney, who I thought was... Jacob Devaney, who I thought was amazing. Lowry, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Samuel Ramos and Camilo Duran.
Oh, listen, it's tough at the top. You can't do right for doing wrong.
I think my formation is Wilfred Nancy.
Should never be said out loud. Anyway, right. Still time to squeeze some calls in. On that then, no Motherwell or St Mirren fans. Maybe too much excitement for them. Yesterday, what did you make of it? I know you gave your howler of the week to the fact that the Gogic handball, and then you thought it should have been retaken for encroachment. But other than that, it was a brilliant game, wasn't it?
Yeah, a great amount of football, two entertaining teams, two attacking teams, getting the ball down, a lot of good young players on show as well, and some great goals. Yeah, just entertainment, Gordon. I know you were there. I know you enjoyed it in the end. So
enjoyed it, all right.
What more can you say?
Do you know what, though? I need to hold my hands up. I've said this a few times on here. I was never that much of a style head. I was never that bothered. And then Jens came along, opened my eyes. And honestly, but hold on, St Mirren are playing such good stuff this season as well. We saw it with Declan John. And I'll reluctantly admit, it makes for a much better like viewing experience.
Yeah, it was a brilliant game. Undoubtedly the best game of the season so far. What did the game finish? Was it 46 shots?
That was very high
in the game. Both teams really front foot, both played the game the way I like to see the game played. I didn't actually see it being as exciting because I thought Motherwell were blistering in the opening 30 minutes. I thought they should have been out of sight. And I've got a little confession to make. For leaving my house for 30 minutes on the clock to get into my mum's house for a birthday and turning on and seeing it was 3-2 St Mirren, I couldn't believe the 15-minute period that I missed. But even the remainder of the second half, you know, I thought it was excellent. Motherwell obviously really pushing for the equaliser, but St Mirren having a couple of brilliant chances on the counter-attack. I thought it was just a really, really good game, played in the best possible way that I like to see it being played.
Yeah, both teams were brilliant. Alec is actually a St Mirren fan. Alec, it's never nice, I suppose, when you can see the late equaliser like that, but it was just a brilliant game, wasn't it?
Gordon, well, listen, you know, I've been on often enough talking about St Mirren, and just now with Craig McLeish taking over, there was a lot of the fans were very dubious about the kind of football that we would see. We definitely play an open game. You've seen that in the first 20 minutes yesterday, but full credit to the players coming back into that game at 2-0 down. In my head, I had 5-0 like last year when Motherwell came and played us off the park, but we gave us good. Gave as good as we got yesterday, and it's certainly the two best footballing teams in Scotland just now playing against each other. It was a brilliant game for the neutral fan. and a brilliant game for the fans there. And yet, last minute, we're thinking we're going to nick 3 points, keep us right up the top with Celtic, and then that goal comes out of nowhere. But I don't think anybody would begrudge Motherwell and St Mirren getting a point each. We would have taken that before the game, to be honest. But we're playing some great stuff. We just need to keep it going on Wednesday night against Kilmarnock. And it's a great belief as well. And honestly, 10 players were brought in the transfer window. We've not spent a penny yet. You wouldn't think that yesterday with those guys, with the effort and everything that they put in.
That said, though, Alec, what about Jake Young? He's through one-on-one in the last minute to wrap it up.
Well, listen, he ran from his own half, and he wasn't running chasing a ball. He was running with the ball and went right through the two defenders. Pace was brilliant. No composure. You know, that probably...
It was such a weird one, Andy. I couldn't decide whether it was a mix of, like, Motherwell players being... I think they did show they were a bit tired from the whole Freiburg experience, and also almost like they just didn't know how quick he was. It just, like, caught them off guard, because Alex Wright, he's burst all the way through. It was a great run, and then the finish just not quite there.
Yeah, and Lucas Fadinga was involved in that, tracking back, and I played with Lucas Fadinga and he's no slow, but it almost looked as if they were both inviting him to run with the ball. And like he says, when he opened his legs up, they realised the pace he's got, they just couldn't get back and catch him. But I mentioned earlier, strikers quite often tell you they're sometimes the hardest chances. You know, when you're breaking through and you've got loads of time to pick a spot or go around the goalie or chip the goalie. Declan John never had that same issue in the first half, but it was a brilliant game. And I've been saying, Ali, I think the league is really, really difficult to predict this year in terms of bottom two, top six, who's that middle of the pack going to be. But having watched St Mirren quite a lot so far this year, I think there's a real opportunity they can sneak into the top six by the end of the season.
I know St Mirren stole the Motherwell recruitment guy, Gordon. That's right.
That's right, one of the guys.
I just wonder if you're seeing his impact already with some of the signings.
Yeah, I think some of them looked. And do you know what, too, Andy, you, let's end the show the way we finished it, the way we started it, because you gave a joint man of the weekend to Alex Lowry of Motherwell, Paul Insio of St Mirren, now both former Rangers Academy. Well, Paul Insio is still on loan, actually, from Rangers. How good are both of they in the way they're having the start to the season? Because I've done a couple of St Mirren games for work, and then obviously keep a keen eye on Motherwell. I think they're both very different, but brilliant.
Yeah, well, Paul Insio has been Rangers' best midfielder this year, but it's not been played for Rangers. I'll start with Alex Lowry, because he's obviously somebody I know really well, and I've always known that he's got bags of talent, and I mean, like, absolutely everything in a technical sense. But he's really, really needed a breakout season somewhere. And when he gave me a call about a month ago now to say that Motherwell was an option for him, I just felt as if it was a perfect fit for him. And I thought he's also the perfect fit for Motherwell. But he had to buy into everything else other than just being on the ball all the time. And I think you can see that, Gordon. I think his desire off the ball, his positional sense is really, really improved. I think he's playing with a lot of maturity. And he plays a pass for the first goal that I think, I'm going to say 5% of the league can play. I don't think people think that's an easy pass. I don't think that's an easy pass when you're running at full pelt and you see the pass and you execute the pass. I don't think there's a lot of players in this league that can play it. And he played the exact same pass on Thursday at Freiburg, and Palmer Holden didn't manage to capitalise and score, and he'd done it again. And I thought his overall contribution to the game, for me, I thought he was the best player on the pitch, closely followed by Paul Insio. And I've been so impressed with him all season long. I thought he was outstanding against Falkirk in the first game of the season, followed that up with man of the match against St Johnstone at home. And I just, he looks as if he's got everything to me, Gordon. He looks all action, really good off the ball, really industrious, can make late runs into the box. He's got a goal in him, he's got a pass in him. And everybody talks about this pathway at Rangers. Well, Paul Insio's doing everything right to try and get in the Rangers first team. So it'll be interesting to see if he does get an opportunity next year, or we're going to keep using this narrative that there's no young players out there.
Thank you very much to Alec, bringing the curtain down on tonight's show, or almost, I should say, because you two have got work to do in the teaser. Mikel Arteta, the 10th manager to manage 250 English Premier League games for one club. Who are the other 9? Wenger, Ferguson, Moyes, Guardiola, Klopp, Redknapp, Kurbishley. Great shout, 2 to get.
Rafa Benitez?
Nope.
So who have I got left? Pardew?
Nope.
Oh. Bobby Robson.
Oh, you're struggling. I love it. I love to hear you toil.
The surprise ones are
one I'd say is difficult because we're going back quite a good bit for Phil. A club that's not been in the Premier League for a long, long time. But one should be a bit more
Pochettino.
No, there's one that's kind of been about a bit more. Burnley.
Oh, Sean Dyche.
Sean Dyche. Yeah. The other one, Wimbledon.
Oh, come out.
Bobby Gould.
I'm out.
Joking here.
Joking here.
There we go. Thank you very much, David Friel and Andy Haldy. Thank you for your calls and your company. It's going to be a really interesting week because our deadline day is Thursday, but Celtic and Hearts European deadline is Wednesday, and there's a full card on Wednesday night as well. So you're not going to want to miss it. 6 o'clock tomorrow, and we'll see you then.